I tell you, after all that introduction, why, we ought to have a time around here to just pray, I guess, a while, and thank the Lord for the blessings of being able to come. I enjoy coming to this church. This is one of the great churches, and I told a fellow last night after I left the radio station, I said, it's the oldest Baptist church in the state of Tennessee. Now, I preached years ago at another church, and they claim to be the oldest, but I'm glad that whether you're old or not, praise God, you look young. Say amen. And I appreciate the privilege of being back with one of the great pastors in America. I tell you, you've got a great pastor here. We appreciate him and his wife. Now, his wife ever shouts, well, I'm going to use that window right over here, but we appreciate his wife and her teaching and the blessing. She's like my wife. I told my wife, I said, honey, if it were not for the supernatural power and the rapture, you wouldn't get a foot off the ground. Now, I'll tell you, I believe I can jump 3 feet when the Lord sounds the trumpet myself. But it is joy to be here with Brother Gene and all of you. And I've been praying and looking forward. Thank you for praying in the time when I had a little sickness. But, you know, I feel good. I believe I could jump that flat-footed back there right now. And but I thank you for praying. And I have a doctor that's real comical. He's Jewish, and he's real comical. He said to me, he said, now, preacher, you come by and let's check your blood now every Monday. And I said, well, I don't worry about that. I'm under the blood. Praise God. And, you know, I told him, I said, now, you Jewish people used to believe in the blood. But we were talking, and he said, you come by, and we'll let you know how your blood is. So I'd always go by. And so here a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I had to go by, and I didn't have time to stay to see how my blood was. And my wife said, I'll take you to the airport, and he'll call. His secretary will call, or the lady there will call us, the nurse. And so the doctor called her, and he said, Dot? And Dot said, yes, Doc, how are you? Said, well, I got bad news for you. Said, you know, we've been working on Mays' heart, and I wished I'd have been there. I'd have said, yeah, but the Lord's been working on it longer than you've been working on it. Yeah. Amen. You see, we need something done with the heart. But anyway, the doctor said, I've got bad news, Dot. And Dot said, really, Dr. Bloomberg? And he said, I sure have. Said, Mays just got to have 3 bypasses. And he got still. My wife said, what? Said, yes, he's got a bypass, Shoney's, McDonald's, and Wendy's. Praise God. So I haven't done a good job in those bypasses, but it's good to be here, and I'm praying and looking forward to the rest of the week, and we're glad that you came. Now, quickly, let me say I want you to call 2 places tomorrow. First, I want you to call heaven, because you'll not have revival unless somebody calls heaven. And then secondly, I want you to look around, find someone that's not here tonight, and let's call that person and tell that person that we're looking for them in the meeting. And I appreciate you that work so hard. I said to Pastor a while ago, I said, somebody's working around here. You know, we that preach grace, and I preach grace, but you can preach so much grace, you don't do any work. Well, I know some churches, and they preach grace so much, they don't even sing, we'll work till Jesus comes anymore. Now, that's bad when you get so that you don't sing, we'll work till Jesus comes. Brother, there's a work to be done for the Lord in these days. And certainly we need to get out and work. And I praise God for the way the church works and for the number you have in Sunday school and the way you've come out tonight. I appreciate you that have worked. All right, I want you to take your Bible tonight real quickly. And let's look into the Word of God. And I believe if you'll pray, God will speak to your heart. And you'll be glad that you came. I'm glad to see you. Brother Cheek back there, I didn't know he was here. Now, if he gets on the warpath, don't worry, he's an Indian, praise God. If he comes down there, we appreciate him and all of you coming tonight to be in the meeting. Appreciate Brother Martin coming from, say, you're from now, McIntyre? Where? Oh, it is? Well, I'm on one side, you must be on the other side. Well, praise the Lord. We're glad to have you with us and all the other preachers. Brother Tim and the other preachers that are with us. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want you to look tonight, and I'm going to speak on four words. Let's have revival. Let's have a revival. Now, I was talking to the pastor. You're not seeing great, sweeping, citywide revivals, countywide revivals. But I still believe that the Lord can revive a church, can revive a people that want to be revived. And in the text tonight, we're going to see a man named Solomon. I think once I preached on Ecclesiastes here, and the 12 chapters in this great book, the Ecclesiastes. But anyway, Solomon is here, and Solomon is now dedicating the temple to the Lord. Everything that we have, we ought to dedicate to the Lord. I don't care whether it's your home, whether it's your children. Everything that you have, you ought to dedicate to the Lord. I believe we'd do that, we'd get along a lot better. And we ought to dedicate everything that we have to the Lord. But here was one of the days that Israel had longed for. Oh, they're still longing for another temple. But in that day, God let Solomon erect the most magnificent. I mean, he erected a building that you've never seen anything like, and I've never seen anything like. You talk about, and the people started giving, and he had to tell them to quit giving. Well, I'd like to preach to that crowd a while. Say amen. I mean to say, folks, just quit giving. And they kept giving, and finally the temple was finished. Now, it comes to the day of dedication. Boy, when it comes to that day, it's always a great day. And I want you to stand with me all over the house for the reverence and the reading of the Word of God. And I want to show you what happened in this meeting, this revival, that came at the dedication of the temple. God revived his people. God stirred his people. And mister, we must have revival. Oh, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty to see God's people really begin to seek the face of God and to cry out in these days as they've never cried out before. Look with me, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. We'll read three verses, and it describes the revival at the dedication of the temple. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. Boy, that's a good sign. And consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the place. Now somebody said, preacher, what happens when God fills the place? Well, it's such an awesomeness and such a reverence that the priest couldn't come into the temple. Now, boy, I'm telling you, God filled that place. God filled that place. I was in West Virginia last week, and I told them that in the Holy of Holies, no natural light was ever witnessed in that little place. Only the Shekinah glory of God was there. And the power of God was so strong that that high priest that went in once a year, they had to tie a rope around his ankle. They thought he might die in the presence of God. You know, I tell you, when you think about going into the presence of God, it is an awesome thing. You cannot see God with these eyes and live, mister. But I'll have new eyes when I see him. I'll have a new body. I couldn't stand it in this body. I'll tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you. I couldn't stand it. But the Bible said, and the glory filled the house. Look at verse 2. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the whole house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. Now, I didn't even know they had cement and pavement back in those days, but that's what the book says. Amen. Amen. Look what the Bible says here. And listen, the scripture said, and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Now let me let you look this way. And in a moment I'm going to speak on let's have a revival. Let's have a revival. Just not another gathering, just not another time to come to meeting. Let's have a real revival. And I believe if you'll pray, I'll show you how in just a moment. But the scripture says, and they worshiped. When people have revival, you'll find people wanting to worship. You can get people today to want to worship. Well, I'll tell you something. The Bible said in Revelation 4, and they bowed down and worshiped. Oh, said, worthy, thou art worthy. Oh, I like to go to church and say, when I leave, I've worshiped. I like to go to church and say, when I leave, that I've bowed in the presence of the Holy One. But the scripture said, and the Lord came down with fire in the days of Solomon. In just a moment, I'm going to speak on four words. Let's have a revival. But I want you to be seated all over the house, and I want you to bow your head for just a word of prayer. Father, how we thank you for the privilege coming back to Buffalo Ridge. I thank you for the ministry of this great church and how that through the years it's been a soul winning, a lighthouse for Jesus. I thank you for the honored pastor that's been clean and upright and stood for the truths of the fundamental doctrines. I pray that you'll bless Brother Lashley, bless his people this week, and our Father, every preacher that's here with us tonight, meet every need. And then, Father, you know every mother, every dad, every son, and every daughter. And I pray that you'd bless our hearts. Oh, as we wait upon the Lord, we know that without God and without the power of God, we'd be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But I pray that you will move in mighty power, save that man that's nearest to eternity. And our Father, draw us all nigh to thee, and we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And for a few moments tonight, I'm going to speak on let's have a revival. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could announce to all East Tennessee that we're having a revival? I mean that God is being magnified, that sin is being exposed, that the church is being revived in the midst of the years. Now let me say before I get into the message tonight, I've only been in two revivals in my life. What a great, great time I had. I want to tell you, I couldn't speak at one. There wasn't any singing after we gathered together in the name of the Lord. God came in mighty power. Then there was the other revival that God let me have a privilege of being in. I've never seen so many folks getting saved. I've never seen so many people confessing one to another. I tell you, there was such love and such fellowship as I've never seen. But I want you to see something. Solomon had a revival in the dedication of the temple. The Bible said two things happened when he prayed. Number one, the fire came down. You can't have revival in the coldness of this world. Brother, we've got to have the holy fire. What a blessing it is to have the fire of the Lord. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But the second thing, God manifest himself in glory. Oh, I tell you, I'm so glad that glory belongs to him. My Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory. There's not much glory in us. We're like the grass that comes up and then fades away. But I'm glad through the ages to come, thank God, we'll enjoy his glory, the glory that he had with the Father in John 17. Jesus talked about that glory, but here it filled the house. Now the scripture said they did three things when these two things took place. First, the Bible said they fell on their faces. They lost their pride. Mister, they fell on their faces down on the hard pavement. Oh, what a blessing. I was in a church last week. I was 40 years old last Sunday. Brother Gene has held revivals there years ago. And in this great church, I tell you, they testified. Some of the old charter members got up and said, when we started, we didn't have any cemented floor. We came in and worshiped on the ground. And then we'd come and weep before the Lord, and we'd leave our tears in the mud. Then the dear brother said, I remember when we had the cement floor, and we'd come there and get out on that cement floor, our tears would puddle up. Oh, I'll tell you, our hearts thrilled as those old saints told about how that God met with them. One brother got up and said, we was going to pour the cement, and the awful storm came, and we fell down upon the cement that had already been poured, and looked over and said, God, you're going to have to protect this new and this recent cement floor. And he said, I saw God part the storm, and he went around the church, and he said, I looked and said, glory, glory, glory. I want to tell you, mister, when God comes, there will be glory, glory to exceed. And so the scripture said they fell on their faces. The second thing it says, and they worshiped. Oh, I long to just worship him. I tell you, America worships money. America worships pleasure. America worships sin. But I want to tell you, the heart worthy, says the Lord, to be worshiped. And then not only they worship, but the Bible said they praised him in thanksgiving. Oh, I heard a young man up in West Virginia say, I'll tell you, the next time you get to the place where you complain and where you whine and criticize because of poor conditions, write them all down on one side of a piece of paper, and then write on the other side all the good things God has done for you. Said it'll put you to shame when I get to thinking about what God's done for me, how that God's blessed me, how that God's been with me, how that the Lord, I want to tell you, has been good to me. I praise him. And so the Bible said, there they were in the midst of the Lord. God gave revival. But let me give you four words tonight. Let's have a revival. Would you write these five things down? First of all, let's have a revival of the fear of God. Oh, we need to fear a holy God tonight. I want to tell you, there's not much fear of the Lord in America anymore. People go out and do as they please. And the scripture says in Romans 3 and verse 18, having no fear of God before their eyes. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Jesus said, fear him not that's able to destroy your body, but fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Hebrews 10 verse 31 said, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I want to tell you something. I'm going to stand before a holy God. Mister, you're going to stand before a holy God. And we'd better fear. We'd better fear, because the Bible said it's the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. Let's have a revival of the fear of God. That'll make you live right on Saturday as well as Sunday. Brother, let's have a revival of the fear of God. That'll make us treat one another right. Let's have a revival of the fear of God. And mister, it'll bring us to church. It'll cause us to serve him and to bless him and to worship him. And so let's have revival of that fear. Now, I told you, I think some years ago when I was a lad over here in the mountains, I wasn't afraid of my mother. I wasn't a bit afraid of my mother. I was always a good talker, and I could out-talk her. And my mother would come to me. She'd say, now, you go get some stove wood. Now, most of you so young, you know what stove wood is. Say amen right there. How many of you know what stove wood is? And she'd say to me, go get some stove wood, Mace. And I'd say, oh, mother, I'm fragile. You're going to kill me before I get 14. And she'd say, get up and go get me some stove wood. And I'd say, now, mother, I love you. You're the best mother in the world. I could get by. But about that time, my dad down the hall would say, Mace. And I'd say, excuse me. And out the door I'd go. And somebody said, where are you going? I'll tell you where I was going. I was going to pick up every stick of stove wood in that county. I was afraid of my dad. But when I think of my fear I had for him, how much more I have a holy fear. God holds my breath in his hand. Are you listening to me? God holds your breath. Oh, we need, let's have a revival of the fear of God. Number two, let's have a revival of that first love that you had when you first got saved. You remember how exciting it was? Well, you won't tell everybody about the Lord. You first got saved, they didn't have to drag you to church. You couldn't wait to get to the house of God. Now, if you'll take your Bible when you get home and read Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, it says in the seven churches of Asia Minor, five of those churches he commended. Only two he had to scold. But I want to tell you something. It starts off chapter 2, verse 1, unto the church at Ephesus. Now you read about Ephesus. You know what God said about that church? He said, I know your labor. They wasn't lazy. You know what's the matter? Most of us Baptists, we're too lazy. Say amen. Oh, we'll not work. We're lazy. But he said, I know your labor. Secondly, he said, I know your patience. We need some patience. Did you know that? And I don't like the way the Bible said to get patience. Tribulation worketh patience. And I'm not going to be here in the tribulation, because when the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me tonight? But I want you to know, in verse 4 of that chapter, he said, nevertheless, church, I know you're patient, I know your labor, but I've got somewhat against you. He said, you've left your first love. Not that you lost it, but you left it. Listen, people, some of you remember when you were saved right here in this church. Boy, you couldn't wait to get a bus. You couldn't wait to be out here visiting. They'd call a prayer meeting and you'd be the first one here. There's something about that first love. It's exciting. Oh, it's a burning love. I remember when I first got saved, I couldn't lay the Bible down. I want you to know, brother, it was just honey from the honeycomb. When I first got saved, I kept my nose stuck in this book. I loved it. I'd go to church and I just said, Lord Jesus, I want to really love you. John 21 says, and Jesus fed Simon Peter, and then he looked at him and said, lovest thou me? Simon, do you really love me? And Simon said a great truth. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Did you know I'm glad he knows all things? He knows everything, mister. I'm glad he knows everything. I was preaching in Florida several years ago in a camp meeting, and I preached on two words from this, the 21st chapter of the book of John. You know what I preached on? He said, thou knowest all things. And I preached on Jesus knows. Jesus knows when your heart is breaking. Jesus knows when you're in danger. Jesus knows when you're faithful. Jesus knows when you're unfaithful. And they made a license tag down in Florida. Those Christians, it said, Jesus knows. Just two words. People walk up and say, what does that mean? And those folks in Florida would say, it means what it says. Jesus knows. I may not know. You may not know. And I'm certain we don't know about tomorrow. But I know who holds tomorrow. Praise God. I know that he knows. And he said, you love me. And he said, thou knowest all things. You know I love you. I want to tell you, mister, let's have revival of that first love. Let's fall in love with Jesus all over again. Let's come to that place in our lives where we'll love him supremely, where we'll put him first. Oh, where we'll let the world know that we love him more than anything else in this world. Now, my wife's real quiet and reserved. She told me several years ago, she said, you know, Mays, she said, before we got married, you'd open the car door, you'd help me in, and said, oh, you were so exciting in that first love. She said, since we've been married now 40 years, said, I have to ask you to slow down so I can get my leg in the door when you take me down. Said, something's happened to that first love. Is that the way you treat Jesus? Do you treat him like he used to? I say to you tonight, let's have revival of the fear of God. Let's have revival, number two, of that first love. And then let's have revival of the fire of God. Cold and dead religion will never do any good, mister. Let me tell you, I'm glad when the fire begins to burn and the fire's rekindled on the altar and the fire begins to burn in grace. Station, you hear me? They'll come to see the fire burn. As a little boy, we used to, an old ice wagon, they wouldn't be but a couple that followed that old ice wagon. Y'all remember that. But you let a fire truck sound that siren, and every little old boy in our community would run to see the fire. I still believe when the church gets on fire, and mister, the church begins to burn for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see people that are hungry to come where it's warm and get in the fire of the Lord. I want God to rekindle that fire. What a blessing it is. Listen to what Jeremiah said. He said, I'll quit God. I'll quit God. Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah said, I'm through. I won't even call your name again, God. And he sat down. You know what God did? He lit the word of God in his bones with fire. And boy, old Jeremiah jumped up and said, Lord, I'm not going to stop. Praise God, I'll tell everybody your name. Listen, if God lights up your bones with the fire from heaven, you'll go out of this church as never before. And let's have a revival of the fire of heaven. They were having a lot of problems back in the days of Elijah. I mean, Baalites. Every kind of cult and ism you could think about. But old Elijah went out in 1 Kings 18 and everything got all right. He said, let the fire fall from heaven. And the scripture said, then the fire of the Lord fell from heaven. And brother, it licked up the water. It licked up the sacrifice, and God's people started singing and rejoicing. Why? Because of the fire of God. Let me say, that's the kind, we need a revival. Let's have one of the fire of God. It'll do something that nothing else won't do. The fire of the Lord. And so Jeremiah, he prayed that prayer. And then Job, I love Job. I preached on Job the other night. I preached on God can turn it around. Did you know, I don't know who you are tonight, and I don't know what you're facing, but God can turn it around. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching, brother. Sometimes it looks like you're backed up against the wall and you don't know where to turn, but God can turn it around. Job lost everything. The devil said, boy, I got you where I want you. But if you read the last chapter, God turned it around. And God said, I'm going to give you twice as much as you had before. But I want you to see Job in one of the most pitiful situations you'll ever find Job. Job 2 and verse 8 says, and I sat down in the ashes and I started to scrape myself. He sat down in the fire that had gone out. The most pitiful sight in this world is a church where the fire's gone out. A pulpit where the fire's gone out. Let me tell you, praying where there's no fire in your prayer. Listen to me. And the Bible said Job sat down in the ashes. You know what he was doing? He was sitting in bygone glory. He remembered when he was in the fire of God, but now he's only in the ashes. And the Bible said he started to scrape himself. I want to tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian and every person in this house, brother, would leave here tonight with a fire burning in your soul like you've never had it. We used to sing a little song. little fire burning. Oh, I want a whole lot of fire burning. Amen. I want the altars of God to be lit with the fire of heaven. I want our hearts to be set on fire. And what a blessing that is. I remember years ago I went to hear a preacher and he had an impediment of speech. And by that I meant he stuttered. I didn't even know the fella. My daddy took me to hear him. Daddy said he's a famous preacher. And I never will forget when he got up to preach that night. I was a little old boy sitting in the back. And he tuttered. And I never will forget what he said. He said, talking about Aunt Me and I came in the church. Why I gonna preach on? He said, I gonna preach on Jesus. Boy, I had plenty of hair. I wouldn't even say my hair stood straight up. Oh, my daddy punched me and said, that's Uncle Buddy Robinson, the old Nazarene preacher. And he told something that night. Dad told me years later. He said he was preaching away, and he said, you know, I'm an Oklahoma. And said, I have a brother, and me and my brother, when we were just small, we used to work the fields together in Oklahoma. And this great preacher that night said, and when I was a little boy, me and my brother was out, and we wanted to plow the old mule that day. He didn't call it mule, he called it mule. And he said, we got that old mule out, and said, that mule, like some of you, he was stubborn. And said, he stopped and couldn't budge, and I hit that mule and said, get up! And said, that mule didn't get up. And said, I got mad, and I reached up and got his ear and bit it, and he still didn't plow. And said, my brother said, buddy, go in the house and get me some newspapers. I'll show you how to make that mule plow. And old buddy went in the house and got some newspapers and brought back and put it on that mule, and they struck a match. And when the fire hit that mule's tummy, boy, Bunker Buddy said he ain't stopped plowing since. Did you know there are a lot of Baptists tonight I'd like to start a fire under, and they wouldn't stop plowing. Oh, they'd be faithful to the Lord. Now notice number four. Listen to me. Let's have a revival of faithfulness to God. You know why the things are like they are in our churches? There are not many faithful folks. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it's required of a steward that he be found what? Faithful. God didn't say it's required of you that you sing like a mockingbird or you preach like John the Baptist. But I'll tell you what God said of every one of you here tonight. It's required of you that you be found faithful. And what a blessing it is to find faithful folks. Oh, people that won't let a little snow. I was coming over the mountain a while ago on this little ASA airline. It's one of those small ones. In fact, I was nearly bigger than it was, tell you the truth. Did you ever fly across a mountain and you thought you was on a June bug? We was coming over, and I looked down, and I saw the snow, and I said, oh, Lord, don't let it be over that gray. Oh, I said, you know how that they are about snow? That's right. I said, Lord, you know. But, oh, when we got over the mountain, I looked down. It was dry. I said, praise the Lord. Amen, brother. I said, praise the Lord. But I want you to know something tonight. I used to have a man in my church, and he's faithful. His name was Brother Nates. He lived 3/4 of a mile across from my church. And Brother Nates had come in the snow. He'd come, listen to me, when it was raining. He'd come when he was sick. He wore a little cap. Back in those days, they wore caps. I don't even wear a hat. Somebody said, well, why don't you wear a hat? I don't have but 2 hairs left. I'm not going to get them twisted up, praise the Lord. So I don't even wear a hat. But I want to tell you something. Old Brother Nate said, take that little cap. And we had a foyer like you had. I had a big foyer where they could hang their cloaks and, you know, hats. Not Brother Nate's. He'd bring that little old cap. Sit right there on my left, just a little over from Ernest. And boy, he'd just cry while I was preaching. And when I'd get through preaching, I'd just go to the door and he'd say, preacher, I don't know how you knew what I needed today, but oh, you put the bread on the table. Hallelujah. He'd say, Brother Mays, I can tell you, it sure is good to eat at the table of the church here. And one day he had a heart attack. I went up to the intensive care and stood there. Miss Nate said, you better go in. And I went in. He looked up and he's crying. Later the next day, he had a stroke. He is paralyzed on the right side, his arm, his leg, his right side, even his mouth. And I went in to see him after the stroke, and he'd mutter something. And I leaned over, and he tried to tell me something. And I said, "Miss Nates, what's he saying?" She said he doesn't mind to be sick, but said, "Come Sunday morning, he wants to be in his place at the house of God." And I want to tell you something. 3 days later, he went to heaven. And when he went to heaven, listen to me, Miss Nates came and said, "Do you think it'd be all right if I'd pay a whole month a light bill, if we'd leave a light on in the auditorium and let him lie in the stadium, the church? That's where he loved the last night." I said, "No, we won't let you pay a month." And I said, "We won't just cut on one, the auditorium lights." I said, "We'll cut on all of the lights in the educational plant, outside, inside. We'll honor that man that was faithful to the house of God." Men came by weeping and said, "This man was faithful to the house of God. Let's have a revival of old-fashioned faithfulness this week. Let's come every night. Let's invite folks to get saved. Let's be faithful to the calling where we're called." I go down to Pascagoula, Mississippi every year. You know where Pascagoula is, down on the Gulf. Of course, all of you have heard that little old song, "The Squirrel Revival in Pascagoula, Mississippi." How many of you have heard that? Raise your hand. Let me see. I know what kind of radio station you listen to now. But hear me. Yes, sir. But down in Pascagoula, they had a young man that could sing and lift the rafters. But one day, he said, "I'm not going to be faithful anymore. I'm going out and get a job with the world and sing with the world." And he did. And he lost his voice. And another young man asked God for that talent, and God gave it to him. And down in Mississippi, there's a man in his early 50s that can make the rafters ring. He says, "You know, that man wasn't faithful with that gift. I asked God to give it to me, and he said, God gave it to me." Listen what the book says. Matthew 25 said, a man came and gave to one man 5 talents, and another man 2 talents, and another man 1 talent. And he went away and said, "I'm coming back, be faithful." But when he came back, he said to the man that had 5 talents, "Did you know I gave you 5 talents? What did you do with your 5? And he said, I got 5 more with the 5 you gave me." You remember what the Lord said to him? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." He went to the man and gave 2 talents to him. He said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I took the 2. I made 2 more. He said the same thing to him. He looked at the fellow that had the 1 talent and said, "What did you do?" He said, "I was afraid. I took the talent you gave me." And I'll quote it just like the King James, because that's all I use. He said, and he digged a hole. Hear me? And he covered up his talent. And he said, "You're a hard master." Well, I want to remind you of something tonight. If you forget everything else I say in this meeting, he's the best master you'll ever serve. Oh, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I have no complaints. Listen to me. He's my Lord and he's my Savior, brother. And I have no complaints about how he's going to treat me. I'm bothered how I'm going to treat him. Oh, it's not how he's treating me. He's always treated me good. Thank God he'll treat you good too. But you know what the Bible says? He looked at that man instead of saying, "Well done," he said, "You wicked and slothful servant, you dig it up." He said, "You dig it up. And you take that talent that you was afraid to use and you were unfaithful with. Give it to the man that's got 10 talents. Let me say to you, let's have a revival of faithfulness this week, and God will bless us. Now notice the last thing, jot this down. Let's have a revival of flowing tears. Oh, I've never seen revival with dry-eyed church members. I've never witnessed revival till somebody says, let's go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, and we'll doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Did you know a tear will move the heart of God? A tear will move your neighbor's heart. A tear will move your own heart. I say to you tonight, let's have a revival of flowing tears. What a blessing it is to say, I just want to cry and tell you, Lord, of what you mean to me. What a blessing it is. Those tears that the Christian one day will shed our last tear. One day he'll take a handkerchief as big as eternity and wipe away all tears. But until that day, Brother Jack, I want to be faithful in going out here sowing the seed, telling poor old sinners that God loves them, that God broke my heart over their lives, and that I want them to be saved. Years ago, it was in England, and every Sunday afternoon there was a young woman who came down to the women's stockade and testified to those women. She was very wealthy, though she married a preacher. That's odd. She'd lose it all if she married a preacher. Say amen. But she is very wealthy, and she married Booth. Her name was Catherine. One day she went on Sunday afternoon to the ladies' stockade. They're dragging a poor old woman in. A woman that had never known the comforts of life. A woman that had never heard, I love you. And there was blood on one cheek and mud on the other cheek. And as Miss Booth was getting ready to go in to the prison, they dragged that woman by. And she bowed her head and said, what can I do? What can I do that she might know that I love her? And she said, as they dragged that woman by, I reached out and kissed her on the cheek. Said they dragged her on down, threw her in a cell, and said she jumped up and told the two lady matrons, is what they called them, matrons. Said, did you know somebody loves me? I felt a kiss, but better still, I felt a tear. Somebody loves me. And they said all week she would walk, and she would say to the guards, the matrons, somebody loves me. Next Sunday, Miss Booth said, you mean all week she's talked like that? Let me tell her why. Miss Booth went in, that old wretched woman looked up and said, you know, will you believe me when I tell you somebody loves me? And she said, yes, I'll believe you. She said, you know, last Sunday they were dragging me by, and somebody kissed me, and I felt a warm tear. Miss Booth said, honey, God told me to do that, to let you know that somebody loved you. That poor woman fell down at the feet of this great lady called Catherine Booth and said, why did you do it? Miss Booth sat on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And that's why I did that, to let you know that there's a greater love than you've ever seen. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, let's have a revival of flowing tears. Let me give you this and I'll close. I go to Chattanooga lots in meetings. I was in Chattanooga years ago at Lupton Drive Baptist Church, and the song leader was Brother J.B. Carr. He was an officer downtown in the police department. And J.B. Carr, if you're from Chattanooga, I guess you knew J.B., brother. You was out there at the church. J.B. led singing at Lupton Drive. J.B. was a compassionate man. J.B. would tell me, Brother Mays, if you'd like to go down to the jail, I'll take you anytime you want to. I said, here, I don't want to go to jail. Praise God, Jesus set me free, and I like this kind of living. Say amen. But I remember one night I got through preaching Lupton Drive, and a little lady came up, and she's crying. I said, God bless you. And when I said, God bless you, she looked up, and the tears just streaming down her cheeks. She said, would you do something for me? And I said, if I can. She said, I've got a 42-year-old daughter here in jail on the third floor here in Chattanooga. And said, she's got tattoos all over her body. Said she's been to the lowest hell, Brother Mays, while she's lived. Said she hates God, hates preachers, hates me. She said, tomorrow is her birthday. I wonder if you'd get Brother Carr to take you up to see my daughter on her birthday. And I said, well, I'll be glad to. I said, what do you want me to tell her? And that little mother just dropped her head. She must have been 60 or 65. Just dropped her little head and cried. And then she pulled something out of her pocketbook. You know what it was? I thought it was cologne. I thought that what she pulled out of her pocketbook was maybe perfume. It was in a little bottle. And she said, no, Brother Mays, this is the birthday gift for my daughter. Tell her not to break it on that cement floor. Tell her to pour it out in her hand. For I poured the cologne out and put that little bottle up to my eye, and I filled it with tears. Will you take a tear bottle to my daughter on her birthday? Next day I met J.B. Carr in front of the police station. We went into the police station, went up three stores. I went over there and they brought that woman out. She had the hardness of sin. And I just started crying. Oh, she'd never been in comfort. She never didn't know anything about God. She didn't know anything about what it was to be saved. She walked up there and said, you must be a preacher. And I said, yes, ma'am, and I want to tell you something. Nobody paid me to come up here. I'm buying my own gas. Mr. Carr was nice enough to bring me with up here to you. And then I pulled out that little jar of tears, that little bottle of tears. And I said, I'm going to give you. And every tear will tell you that mama loves you. But I said, I've got something better to tell you on your birthday. I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I said, thank the Lord. He meant you and he meant me. She never looked at me. I said, I'm going to pray. I prayed and the tears streamed down my cheeks. And when I finished, Brother J.B. Carr and myself went down, got in the police car. He said, I'll take you to the motel. I said, no, take me to church. Take me to church. And I went there, fell in the altar and wept. I said, Lord, I've never filled up a little bottle, much less. I've never filled up anything with my tears. But I want to make a puddle here where some old sinner can come and know that somebody cares. Oh, you say, preacher, we need a revival. And I tell you, let's have one of flowing tears. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I got to thinking about this after the pastor left me. I said, let's have revival. Now listen to every visitor and every member of this church tonight. You know what the Bible said? Blessed are they, plural, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's have revival. Let's say, Lord, I'm willing to forsake everything. Lord, I'm willing to lay everything aside. Lord, my heart yearns for you to set my heart on fire. My heart yearns, dear Lord, as a Christian, to be what you'd have me to be in this meeting. I'm going to ask you just three questions, and our brother's ready with a song. We'll not keep you long each night. I want you to come every night. Now, hear me. How many of you tonight can say, Brother Mays, I can say without any fear of contradiction, I know that I'm saved. And preacher, I know that my heart's clean before the Lord tonight. Slip up your hand, Christian. Let me see that. I want to see it tonight. God bless you. That's wonderful. Now you can take your hands down, beloved. Let me ask you the second question. How many is here tonight? You say, preacher, I've been saved, or we've been saved. Many of you have been saved, no doubt. But you say, preacher, I've gotten cold and indifferent. Oh, I need revival in my heart. Would you lift up your hand? Let me see it tonight. Just lift it up, then you can take it down. Real quickly, I want to see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you over here. God bless you back yard. God bless you on my right. Just keep lifting your hand. Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I want you to know I've gotten cold and indifferent. And preacher, I don't love the Lord like I did. And I'm not praying like I did. And I want revival in my own heart. Would you lift that hand up, Christian? Let me see it. God bless you, and God bless you over here, and God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Just keep lifting up your hand. Oh, we can't have revival till we get hungry for one. Is there one other? All right, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want every one of you to raise your hand in a moment to come right down this aisle. Kneel down on your knees for this prayer before we go. If you really want revival, if you want the Lord to warm your heart, if you want the Lord to stir your mind and the gift of God in your life, you need to come, get on your knees tonight and say, Lord, I'm here, revive me again. Now, just before I pray, I'm going to ask one more thing. How many people in this house say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I'm lost. I'd go to hell if I were to die. I want you to step up that hand. Let me pray for you. If you're here on this Tuesday night and you're not sure that you're ready for heaven, you're not sure you're saved, hold up that hand. Let me see it high. I want to pray for you. Lift it up, then you can take it down. I believe there's a mother back there. I believe there's a dad somewhere in this congregation tonight. Dad, you're not saved. I believe there's a young person in. Listen, you're not saved. Would you hold up that hand and let Brother Gene myself see it? And we'll be glad to pray for you. Would you hold your hand up? Let me see it there. Then you can take it down just quickly. Yes, God bless you. Is there one more? Let me see your hand. Young girl over here, is there one more? All right. All right, we're going to pray. Is there one more? Father, I thank you tonight. Oh, that when Solomon prayed, the fire from heaven came down. Oh, the scripture said, and the glory filled the house where they were. And now tonight, Lord, you see every person. You know that one that needs touch of revival in his life. You know that one tonight that's hungry to know that the fire's going to burn again and heaven's going to be real to that soul. Lord, speak to every heart. May every soul be obedient. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. We're going to stand singing what, brother? 310. Number 310. All to Jesus, I surrender. All right. Now, listen, while you're turning to 310, I want you to look right over here. I want you to look right over here. I want you, when we stand, if you really, God has spoken to you and you really mean business with the Lord, you say, preacher, I tell you, I've got to have revival. There's no doubt about it. I want you to, when we stand, I want you to come and get on your knees. You know, if you have revival, I believe we'd get our loved ones saved. Mm. We'd have revival, brother. We'd see people saved all around us. There'd be conviction that'd fall on the community and the church when the church is revived. So we're going to stand. We're going to sing. Everybody standing, everybody sing. The first stanza, and I want you to come. If you raise your hand or if you didn't raise your hand, come. We're going to have prayer right here. If you need assistance, Brother Lashley will be here to pray with you. If you don't, just come and kneel at the altar. We're going to have this prayer tonight for revival, all right? Just come right on down. Come right on down while we sing. All to Jesus, I surrender. Praise the Lord. All to Him I freely give. Yes. I will ever love and trust Him in Just keep coming, that's right. You visitors can come too, we're going to pray. You church members ought to be required to come. This is your revival here. Come right on while we sing another stanza. Come right on quickly. All to Jesus. Brother, that's wonderful. Amen. Amen. Just keep coming. That's right. Just let the Lord speak to you. I surrender all. Just come right on.
I surrender all.
Just keep coming. That's right. Just keep coming. All to Jesus. They're still coming. Amen. Amen. If you need help like this lady, you just ask for it, brothers. Lastly, get somebody to pray with you. Amen. Your young lady needs to be saved. Oh, you say, preacher Mays, God's speaking to me. Come on. You need to be saved, or if you need to come kneel this altar, you just come right on. We're going to have somebody to pray with you. Isn't that blessed? Isn't that wonderful? I surrender. I want you to bow your head while they play softly. We're going to have another stanza while these are praying here at the altar and while Miss Lysen is dealing with this precious soul. Oh, she came out tonight. I want you to know this precious lady was under conviction. Somebody's been praying for her. Somebody's been talking to her. Tell you what I want us to do. Let's keep her head bowed and sing that first stanza again. Just keep your head bowed and sing it along. And we're going to let you have another opportunity to come. Just come right on down. We're going to have you to kneel right here. Would you come? There may be somebody back there and you've been running from God. Listen, there may be a mother back there. You're not saved. You do not know the Lord. There may be one of you young, teenagers, or maybe even younger than a teenager. You say, preacher, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know I'm ready for heaven. You know what you need to do? You need to come down. We'll pray for you. Keep your head bowed. Let's sing that first stanza. Come on. Or if you're a Christian, you just need to come pray. Come on now. This is why we're here. We want to see God move. Just step out tonight. We'll sing the first stanza with our heads bowed.
All to Jesus. Jesus.
Amen.
I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will
ever
love and trust him.
Yes, I will.
In his presence daily live.
Listen, this is for you, friend.
I surrender.
Thank the Lord. Let's sing the first stanza again. They're still coming. We don't want to waste any time, but we want to. Well, we don't want to close as long as God's dealing with people. We don't want to close as long as the Lord's dealing with people. Amen.
I will ever love.
Amen.
Trust him.
If God's dealing with you, friend, you need to step out. Come right on. Come on, we'll pray with you. Whoever you are back there, we'll pray with you. Come on. I surrender all. Oh, yes. All right, I want you to keep your head bowed. Thank you, dear brother, and thank you for playing. Let me ask you.